Well, hallelujah. Thank y'all for letting me come back and preach to you. And thank you for not running Chris off. He's thankful too. Anyhow, it's a privilege and a joy to be back with you folks. And man, I'm telling you, that song was right out of the cool part of heaven, wasn't it? Amen. I was over there just kind of giggling in the spirit. Have you ever giggled in the spirit? When you see God doing something and you know that it's God, you just get tickled and you can't keep from laughing about it. And she started singing and I started giggling because I knew how it was going to fit in with the message that God had given me. God gave me a message. God gave her a song. And he knew that I was going to be preaching this and I knew that she was going to be singing that, and it's just going to work together so sweetly. And so, anyway, I get excited about knowing Jesus. Amen? Amen. I'm crippled up today, and I'm sorry. I'll have to sit down a little bit. I'm usually a 4S preacher, spitting, sweating, stomping, and screaming. And y'all know I like to walk around and look you in the eyes when I'm preaching, and see if you're getting what I'm saying. I like to communicate with folks. And I was looking to see what my knee was hitting under. I've never sat like this at this pulpit. But anyway, I'm having fun today. Isn't God good? Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We had a good fight at the outreach center a couple of months ago. Two guys got into it in basketball and wouldn't quit, and the old preacher had to get out there and get into it, and they kept trying to hit each other and kept trying to get around me, and finally I jumped up and grabbed one of them around the neck, and I said, "I love you, but you're not going to act like this in the church. You know, our church meets in a gym there in Memphis," and he kept trying to throw me off, and finally he bent over, and when he bent over my feet could touch the ground, I walked him outside, and I said, "Take your business somewhere else." And then another one, he was wanting to fight, I had to help him out too. But it gets exciting in Memphis, Tennessee. Amen. Amen. I've been preaching before and walked up to the edge of the platform, and you never know what's going to happen. And I walked up to the edge of the platform, and I was standing like that with my feet sticking off, and a little girl came and sat down on my shoes. And just sat there for the longest time, and I preached while she was sitting there, and finally she got up and wandered off, and I went back to preaching. So you never know what's going to happen. We had our ushers, which were ex-gang members, taking up the offering one time, and I was teasing, and I told them, I said, "Now, guys, I want you to walk slow, look hard, and linger long." And it ended up about being a shakedown during the offering at Miracle Baptist Church. And so I had to tell them afterwards, "Guys, I was teasing." And we don't give out of necessity. And they were shaking the plate in front of folks. And so one of them, who just went home to be with Jesus here recently, one of the scariest looking guys you'll ever meet in your life, his name was Brim. And he wasn't a brim, I'll guarantee you. He was a bass or a catfish at least. He weighed about 500 pounds. And he was running from the police one time. You can tell I've been in the hood, I say police and not police. But he was running from the police and ran off the road. They hit a tree and it broke the bones in his face, just broke his face all up. So one eye set a little bit lower than the other. And it was just a slit, just barely open. And every tooth in his head was gold. And he'd grin at you like that with that old eye sitting down, and you'd want to run. He's one of the scariest guys you ever met in your life. And when I baptized him, folks said, "Man, how did you baptize him? Great big old guy, that much taller than me." And I said, "He's the easiest guy. He's so fat, when I dunked him, he popped right back up." And he dove in off the diving board. We were baptizing in a swimming pool. He dove in to get in and didn't even get all wet. He didn't go all the way under. And so anyway, he went home to be with glory. If went home to be with Jesus a few weeks ago, and I know he's rejoicing in the presence of Jesus. Amen. And God will take an old sorry gangster disciple like that and save him and take him home to glory. Now, I preached a revival message one time, and Chris was talking about getting baptized. And if you've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, and it made me think of this outline. And I preached this revival message one time, and I talked about, I said, for your sake, give your heart to Jesus so that you don't miss heaven and go to hell. I said, for your family's sake, give your life to Christ, because your family needs to see a man that loves Jesus. Your children and your wife need a godly man who will stand up for what is right and be a good example to the family. I said, for your friend's sake, give your heart to Jesus, because so many of your friends are lost and going to hell. And then I said, for heaven's sake, give your heart and life to Christ, because heaven will be a little bit sweeter if you're there. Amen? If you're here and you've never been baptized, or you don't have a scriptural baptism, number one, nobody's going to get mad at you for following the Lord in believer's baptism. Amen? This means yes. Amen? Nobody's going to say, looky there, I knew it. If they did, they need to get right with God. Amen? Everybody's just going to rejoice and be so excited. And another thing, there are folks here who have never had scriptural baptism. They were baptized when they were young, but then they got saved later during a service when some preacher was preaching. And they never went back forward, made it public, and got baptized, so they've never had scriptural baptism. And if you do it, they're going to be encouraged to do it too. Amen? For their sake. Get your baptism on the right side of your salvation. For your sake, do it, because as Chris said, you'll never grow past the point of baptism until you're faithful in that. That's the first thing that we're obedient in, making it public and being baptized. Everybody with me so far? This means yes. All right. Well, praise God. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then down in verse 17, and Jesus came and preached peace to you who were far off and to them that were nigh. Now, the scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And it's all of grace. It's not of works. It's a gift of God. Everybody with me? You can't earn it. You can't be good enough. It's a salvation. When a person gets saved, what are we saying that they're being saved from? They're not being saved from dying, because the thief on the cross, he believed in Jesus, and Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He died. Brim loved the Lord. He had faith, and he died. For by grace are you saved. When you're saved, you're not saved from physical death. You're saved from spiritual death. Listen, God's Word says in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Did you know that before I got saved, I was dead in my sin? I couldn't do anything about it. So number one, when a person is saved, they're saved from spiritual death. And number two, when a person is saved, it's settled once and for all. I know that whatsoever the Lord doeth, it shall be forever. You can't add anything to it. You can't take anything away from it. When a person is saved, it's settled for all eternity. You don't have to be saved again. I got saved 39 years ago, last month. I don't have to be saved again. I have to be refilled with the Spirit day by day. The Scripture says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, a continual filling. And I ask the Lord every day, I ask Him, God, forgive me for sin in my life. And I ask the Holy Spirit, fill me, dear Holy Spirit, and glorify Christ the Son. I was saved and filled once, but there's a continual filling as I live my life for Christ. But it's an accomplished salvation. It's a gift of God. You can't work for it. Now, consider a man who is trying to be good enough to go to heaven. A man who is trying to work his way to heaven. He's trying to go to church enough, trying to be good enough. There was a point in his life where he decided, I'm going to try to be good so that I can go to heaven. I'm going to try going to church and try religion so that I can go to heaven. Everybody listen. What's he going to do about the sins he committed before he started trying to be good? The sins he committed before he started trying to be good are enough to send him to hell. So you see, even if a man is the most morally upright, the sweetest guy you'll ever meet, a good old boy, never hurt a fly, what about the sins he's committed in the past? Until they're blotted out, he's still lost. And the only thing that'll wash them away is the blood of Christ. Amen? So you can't work and be good enough. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. A man who's pretty good. I've had folks say, well, I tell you what, I'm a pretty good guy. Man, that is the height of the epitome of pride to say, I'm good enough to go to heaven. How prideful would a man have to be to say, I'm good enough to go to heaven? The Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. People who say that they're saved by good works, man, that is the epitome of pride. You can't get salvation by grace through the sacraments. That's baptism and the Lord's Supper. Man, you could eat a truckload of wafers and drink 100 gallons of grape juice. It wouldn't save you. You can be baptized till you come out wrinkled like a prune, and it won't save you. We're not saved by the sacraments. We're not saved by our own sacrifices. Did you know that some people do without thinking, oh, I'm going to be right with God, and I'm going to go on a fast and not do this and give up this for the rest of my life, and they do it thinking it's going to make them acceptable to God. You're not saved by service. Man, you work hard. I was in a church one time. Woman came forward and grabbed me by the lapels of my jacket. Said, Brother Ronnie, I'm lost. I need to get saved. And the pastor came over and said, I'll take this one. And he took her over into a little closet on that side of the church. It was a little country church. And the invitation went on, and folks had quit coming. It was time to close it out, and I walked over there and knocked, and he said, come in. I opened the door, and I said, Pastor, do you want to close it out? Before I asked him, you know what I heard him say? He said, but sister, you can't be lost. You're my best church member. Isn't that something? You can't be lost. you're my best church member. And he said, I'll close it out. You finish up here. And I sat down. I said, sweet lady, were you serious? She said, Brother Ronnie, I am lost. And I said, let's get it settled. She got saved. Amen. Man, you can be the best church member here and miss it. Because it's salvation by grace through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't be good enough. Did you know that you don't even have the ability to have faith? You don't have the ability to have faith. Some people say, well, I'm saved because I believe. Faith, now listen, faith is not what saves you. It's faith in Jesus. There are people who have faith in Muhammad, and they're going to miss it. There are people who have faith in Buddha, but they're going to miss it. It's faith in Jesus. And you know where that faith comes from? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, you don't even have the ability to have faith on your own. People say in that verse, and I've heard a lot of questions and a lot of discussion back and forth where it says, for by grace, now grace, are you saved, that's salvation, through faith. You've got faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So what part of that is the gift of God? Is it grace? Is it faith? Or is it salvation? It's all of it. Amen? Every little bit of it is a gift of God. We don't deserve it. And He gave it. Hallelujah. And you know what? I was reading something and the guy said, you know what amazes me? And this isn't going to be an accurate quote. He said, what amazes me is that Christianity is all about giving. He said, God gave His Son, that was a gift. Jesus gave His life, that was a gift. God has given us the promise of heaven with all of the blessings that it entails. It's a perfect place, and that's a gift. And although God has given so much, men who are able are still not willing to give their lives to Him, who are not willing to give their time. They have abilities that are out of this world, but they won't use them for the glory of God. They won't give Him their time, their talents. Some of you folks sing like an angel, but you never sing for Jesus. They don't give their tithes. Now I'm meddling, huh? There are folks who are wealthy, feel like they're doing God a favor by giving to Him. The guy said, I don't understand that. God has given so much, and we're not willing to give anything back. And let me say this in the midst of that, because I don't want to beat you down. Now listen, I heard Brother Chris talk about how y'all had a goal, and y'all exceeded that goal. Thank you for Jesus. Amen. Thank you for giving. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I could preach a whole message on that, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh. He says, remember. Then in verse 12, he says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You were without Christ. Remember when you were without Christ. Some folks will remember a time in their life where they were just living their life and they didn't care anything about God, didn't want to hear about God, just were just living their life on their own. Never even thinking about God. They were without Christ. And then there were others who said, well, there must be a God. Even the dumbest guy on earth knows there has to be a God. But they didn't. They didn't try to know Him. Didn't care about knowing Him. And then there's still others that say, well, there is a God. But I don't care to spend any time with Him or seek Him. I believe in God, but they don't try to know Him. They don't try to seek Him. And I don't know who said it, but they said it well. They said, listen, they said, to know Jesus is to love Him. And to love Him is to seek Him, and to seek Him is to find Him. Isn't that good? When you know Jesus, you're going to love Him. And when you love Him, you're going to seek Him. And when you seek Him, you're going to find Him. He said, seek and you shall find. But there are people out there who say, I know there is a God, but they never seek Him. Therefore, they never find Him. And there are still others out there that say, yeah, I know Jesus. But I know Him on my own terms. I know God, but I know Him the way I want to know Him. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, my religion's a private matter? Anybody ever heard that? No, it's not. Religion is not a private matter. He said, men light a candle and put it under a bushel basket. He said, I tell you, put it in the lampstand so it might give light unto all that are in the house. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me into the world, even so I send you into the world. And why did He come? Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Religion is not a private matter, it's a public matter. And that's the problem in America today. We buried our lamps in the ground so deep we can't even pull them up. And folks all around us are wandering around in the darkness, spiritually blind, because they can't see Christ anywhere in anybody. God have mercy. We're to be the light of the world. How are they going to find Jesus if we don't tell them? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Folks say, well, I know God, but it's a private thing. Man, the FBI couldn't find you if they were looking for a Christian. You're good at it. You're so good at it, I don't think you got it. Because how can Jesus come to live in a man's heart and him not be overwhelmed by it? How can Jesus come in and change a man and him not be overwhelmed by it? Did you know that when God saved me, He didn't make me a better man? He made me a new man. There's no continuity between the old man and the new man. There had to be a death there. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And many, many folks have missed it. They're without Christ. They're living their lives. They never seek Him. They never ask God, what do you want me to do? They never try to find Him. They say, well, I got it, but I got it on my own terms. It's what I believe. I had a guy tell me one time, I don't care what the Bible says, this is what I believe. Can you believe that? You say, Brother Ronnie, I've said that. Do you care what God says? Verse 13, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off. Now, I don't have much more. Hey, Brother Ronnie, that's hard preaching. Ye who were afar off. How far is afar off for a person who's lost? For a person who doesn't know Jesus, how far are they away from God? How far? In order to understand how far they are, you have to understand how far Jesus came. The Bible says that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's the Lamb slain in eternity past. A person without Christ, listen, is eternally separated from Jesus. Eternally. The scripture, Jesus said, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. John chapter 3, he says, who is he that came down from heaven? Who is he that ascended up to heaven, but he that descended from heaven, and he that is in heaven right now? He not only came from eternity past, making a person eternally separated, but he came from heaven. So how far is heaven? Where is heaven? Paul said, I knew a man who was caught up in the third heaven. A third heaven. So that means there are two other heavens. The first heaven is the atmosphere of earth, where birds fly, where airplanes fly. Our atmosphere surrounding earth. That's the first heaven. The second heaven are the stars, the moons, the planets, the solar systems, the galaxies. That's the second heaven. The third heaven is past that. Scientists who sometimes professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. But scientists who are a lot smarter than I am as far as intellectually, they say that the universe is infinite. So that means that the third heaven is infinitely far away. I was looking at numbers. The other day, I asked my wife, and when we were young, we took something called general math in high school. And it was just enough to get out. No algebra, none of that. All right? And I said, what comes after a quadrillion? Septillion. What comes after septillion? Sextillion. I don't even remember the other ones. 10 is decadillion. But it goes on up into the 20s. A trillion is 1 times 10 to the 13th power. I didn't understand that until I started reading about this, trying to figure out what I really didn't know anything about. Did you know if you wanted to count to a trillion, it would take you 36,000 years? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm not going to start now. If you think I've been preaching long, let me try to count to a trillion. 36,000 years. I asked Chris. I didn't know this until yesterday. I just an old country bumpkin. I didn't know it. I said, what is the largest number that's out there? And he said, well, I would say a Googleplex. I said, you're exactly right. A Googleplex. A Googleplex is 1 times 10 to the 10th power. Now listen, to the 100th power. That's a lot of zeros. But that's not infinite. Jesus came from infinity to earth. A person who's lost is eternally separated. They're infinitely separated. Infinitely separated from God. Without God in the world. What a terrible, terrible place to be without God in the world. A pitiful place. Without any hope. Without any promise of the blessings of God. Separated from God. Afar off. You can be that close, but you're still infinitely and eternally separated from God. You will never make it to the third heaven on your own. You will never bridge eternity on your own. What did it cost Him? I preached on John 3:16 the last time I was here, and I told the story of the preacher who said, why didn't God send two Jesuses? If one made such a difference and impacted the world so much, why didn't He send two Christ? They would have saved the world by now, or even 10. And then the preacher answered the question. He said, because when God gave His Son, He gave all that He had. He gave everything. That's how far Christ had to come to redeem man and bridge the gap between man and God. He bridged eternity, infinity, and gave all that He had. Won't you give your heart to Christ? Won't you give your life to Him? He said, we came to preach to those who were nigh and to those who were afar off. We know from the context that He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. Listen, the Jews were the religious people. And the Gentiles were what they would call the heathen. They were just out there doing their own thing. And whether you've been out there doing your own thing, or whether you've been going to church and you're religious, if you're separate, this word is for you. Because you can be the most religious man in the world. You can't be good enough. You can be the richest man in the world and give all that you've got. But it won't be enough. You can pray and pray until the day you die. And it won't be enough. You can preach for years. It won't be enough. You have to come through Christ. You have to receive the gift that God has given. By grace, it's not me plus Jesus. It's not me plus faith. I'm sorry, it's not Jesus plus me believing in Him. Listen, it's all Jesus. And when a person comes to Jesus, when a person comes to Jesus, infinity, eternity is bridged. the God who gave us all comes into their life and they give their all to Him. And everybody knows it. Everybody. If you've never done it, my friend, what a pitiful place that you found yourself today without God. What a terrible, terrible place without God in the world. Come to Jesus. Come to Christ today. See, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what anybody thinks. I have to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. His grace is sufficient for you today. Come to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love you. God, I worship and I praise you, Jesus, and I thank you for saving me. Lord God, I don't deserve it. I never have deserved it, but you saved me, Jesus. And God, there are folks in here right now, they're religious, but they're lost. They're separate. There are folks in here who know there's a God, but they never seek you. They're far off. There are folks in here who have not cared anything about you. They've been afar off, and God, your word has been preached to them. And I believe, Holy Spirit, that you're drawing them today. And I believe that the grace of God, which hath appeared unto all, the grace of God which bringeth salvation and has appeared unto all men, I believe it's appearing unto them today. I believe you're knocking on their heart's door. If they'll come to you, Jesus, you will change them into a new person. Give them grace to do it. I ask you, Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to bind up Satan away from this place today. And I ask you to give us love and boldness, a fearlessness to give our hearts and lives to you and be obedient to what you tell us to do. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you're here and you say, Brother Ronnie, I want to give my heart to Jesus, invite Him to come into your heart right now. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, I give all that I have to you as my Lord. I ask you to come into my heart, to wash away my sins, and to cover me with your righteousness. Be my Lord and be my God. Save me, dear Jesus. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed,